everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening across the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I am your Reach Higher Riverside podcast host. On this month's episode, we're going to talk about the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Leadership Team Student of the Year campaign. Evelyn Arrivas is the morning show co-host for Odom and Evelyn in the Morning 99.1 KGGI iHeartRadio. She also serves on the LLS Leadership Team. Emily Bartlett is the campaign manager for the Leukemia and Lymphoma LLS Student of the Year campaign. They both are going to share about this amazing opportunity that will help your students stand out for college applications, scholarships, and job applications. It will also help your students to give back to the community on an important cause. I'm excited to share this interview. Both of these ladies are amazing. I hope you enjoy this interview. All right. Hi, everyone. I'm with two amazing ladies who help out with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, LLS Student Leadership Team. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Go ahead, Emily, you start.
My name is Emily Bartlett, and I work with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and after doing an internship with LLS in college, I moved out to the West Coast, and I've been working with LLS since then for about 5 years, and I'm the campaign development manager for the Students of the Year campaign.
And I'm Evelyn Arrivas. I am a morning show host on 99.1 KGGI. I work for iHeartRadio, and I'm also on Coast 103.5 in LA. I got involved with LLS years ago now. I think it's like 11 years ago when I first got involved. I've done a lot of like nonprofit work through the years, but LLS has always struck a chord with me. So that's where my heart is now, dedicated.
Yeah, and Evelyn's done a great work in our community in the Inland Empire, and so has Emily. Emily, you could tell us a little bit how you got involved with LLS.
Yeah, like I said, I did an internship in college. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do still, figuring it out. I got the opportunity and I just fell in love with the organization. I really love the mission and knowing that I'm making a difference for patients everywhere, supporting their families. And just once I had that internship and I graduated, I got the opportunity to come back and I started with our Light the Night campaign and then moved into Students of the Year. And that's been my focus.
Awesome. And I currently help out a little bit with your team and I love it. It's impacting a lot of people and I love giving back. So I think you guys do great work and I'm hoping more students can join and maybe even more people on the leadership team. So can you tell our listeners what the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society Student of the Year campaign is?
I'll explain it a little bit based from a mama perspective. So my daughter was a candidate in 2020. And we got involved with it because of our longtime connection to leukemia and lymphoma through friends and family members and through the years. My daughter was a candidate, and what it is an incredible campaign that really shapes the way that children are. I mean, like the way that these teenagers look at business and philanthropic work and as a mom really changes the way that your child is from the beginning all the way until the very end. And I'll let Emily go ahead and explain the actual definition.
I think that's very important piece of it, Evelyn, for sure. I'm going to backtrack for just a second, just to go over LLS, you know, what is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society? And just a quick overview in terms of that is like our mission statement is to cure leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma, all blood cancers, and improve the quality of life for patients and their families. So really, you know, all the money that we're raising, we're investing into research to find better treatment options, patient support and advocacy. So that's the real high level in case people don't know what LLS is. And then Students of the Year, you know, what it is specifically is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program. So our high school students, they foster professional skills such as entrepreneurship, marketing, project management, leadership, all those great things. and they fundraise as much money as they can to support the mission of LLS for 7 weeks. And at the end of that 7 weeks, we come together, we have a grand finale celebration, and we get to announce the team who raised the most amount of money. And that's who we name our Student of the Year winners. And in addition to that, we also give out citizenship awards for three teams who really go above and beyond in leadership, in community involvement, and in blanking on the third one right now. But that's okay. Three other awards go out to them, but they raise funds in honor of a blood cancer patient or survivor that's in our local community. And, you know, we as staff partners partner with each team in the community to build a plan of action. So however they want to fundraise, we really partner with them to determine how they're going to get to their personal goals that they've set for themselves.
And Evelyn, I know your daughter was on a kind of like a TED Talk that shared a little bit about this. Can you tell our listeners what she was involved with if they want to listen to that TED Talk?
Oh yeah, it's Sue. They're actually Sue Talks because they're geared for women. But yeah, it's really cool. It's in a whole empowering other side of the world where she was learning how to be a public speaker, and her specific Sue Talk was about her experience, mostly through the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Student of the Year program. And I believe you can find it on YouTube under Sue Talks. And she's part of the Sue Rising campaign, which is the younger girls that do it. So Sue Talks is generally entrepreneurial women, people who are already established in their career giving these talks. Sue Rising, she was the inaugural Sue Rising talker. So she was the very first one who was a teenager to give it.
We'll go ahead and post that on our social media when this podcast episode comes out. So if you guys want to listen to it, you'll be able to check it out. It's an amazing Sue Talk. It was so motivational, not just for me, but for our students that listen to it. Can you guys talk about the requirements for a student to join the campaign and why they should join LLS?
So, I mean, in terms of requirements, there's not a ton necessarily. You know, you have to be in high school, 9th through 12th grade, in order to lead a team. However, team members can be of any age. So even if you're not the sole person leading the campaign, team members are recruited of all ages to help. Really, parents have to be involved with the campaign. And I know Evelyn can attest to having a parent involved is crucial, and it really makes a difference in the success for students. But beyond that, I mean, really just being willing to ask to get your community involved. You know, if you're scared of asking or you refuse to ask, you can't raise money, right? But if you're willing to learn, you're willing to try and really just get community involved. That's kind of the requirements, really. I think beyond that, there's not necessarily a hard list. We do have an application nomination-based system. So you can fill out an application or you can be nominated by someone in your community. But, you know, where this is a great opportunity, or like why students should join, why it's great for them is, you know, I talked about the professional skills, and you may have some of those to start with, which is great to get you started, but it helps students grow tremendously in building those skills that they're going to use for the future, whether that's college, their you know, careers in the future, getting scholarships. I know, Evelyn, you could probably share a little bit more about that with Julene's experience. But, you know, so many of my students have use this as college applications, right? Being able to share the experience, what the impact they created in their community during high school at 16, 17 years old. And that's really been, I think, the biggest draw for students is, of course, in addition to making the mission impact, you know, and helping cancer research, is really just gaining that experience for college applications. Do you, Evelyn, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about Julie's experience too with that.
Yeah, so with this whole Students of the Year program, you know, it's, you know, of course there is an end goal, right? You have you set your goal, you hope you hit it. Yes, you want to win Student of the Year, but what's so cool about Students of the Year is if you don't win, you still stand out to colleges for scholarships, opportunities everywhere now. So my daughter, she came in, I think she came in third. She did get one of the Mission Integration Award, and that was incredible for her. And really that was like the goal was she wanted to hit a certain number. She wanted to beat my number because I had a number from when I ran for Woman of the Year, and she did that. So that was an incredible feat for herself and you know, kudos, and it built her confidence. But what we saw after the fact was colleges don't care if you won Students of the Year. Like, they care that you were a part of it. They care that you put that effort in. So when she was applying for scholarships, I think she won 5 scholarships. You know, small here, you know, not all are ginormous, you know, they're not all going to be super big, but she had enough, you know, to help cover her most of her first year of school. And, you know, those are things that schools and scholarships are looking at. They want to know that you got involved with your community. They want to know that you gave of your time, you know, something you were not paid to do. You committed to it marketing wise. They know now you understand that side of things. They know you're going to be a good representative for that scholarship or for that school. So we saw the perks of the whole thing come full circle when she was applying for colleges and scholarships this last year.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole Reach Higher campaign is to help students go on for more education or training. And so our educators listening to this should check this out because it'll help your high school students hopefully get scholarships and it'll help them stand out with college and even resumes when they apply for jobs. So this is really important. And how much time does a student usually invest in this campaign, like estimated time frame?
Such a complicated question. It seems so simple, but every student operates differently, right? So it kind of, you know, what you put into this campaign is what you get out of it is kind of what I like to say. I've asked students, right? Like how many hours have you spent? One of our top fundraising teams this past year in 2021, she shared that she probably spent about 4 to 5 hours per week before the campaign. So that was the goal planning sessions with staff, getting her team on board, you know, setting up corporate sponsorship asks, like all the pre-planning was maybe 4 to 5 hours per week. And then the 7 weeks themselves, she said probably 3 to 4 hours a week. And what that was again, following up with her team, following up with donors, right? You make all these asks, ask people to support you. So really just doing the follow-up work with that and following up with any of those corporate sponsors. So that's kind of how she explained it to me. I would say that most students are probably on a similar time frame, but everyone, you know, everyone works differently. Some can get it done in an hour or two. Some need 10 hours probably to get the same work done.
It's interesting because you want to make sure that you have enough time ahead of the campaign actually kicking off, which it doesn't kick off until, you know, what, February of next year now. Mm-hmm. So what's really cool is getting involved now, you know, rather than later so that you have all of that planning time. And then significantly, you'll have significantly less work once the campaign does kick off. So, you know, if you're in the height of school and sports and things that are happening, you know, now that we'll be post-pandemic, that's going to be a thing. This is a great time. Like the few months leading up to the campaign are the greatest time to just start planting all of those seeds, preparing for the 7 weeks that is the actual campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think students, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's a great point that really the more lead time you have, the more you can, you know, space out all of your planning activities. But if you're coming in like a month before the campaign, it's going to be a little bit of a different prep work, right? You're going to be go, go, go. So absolutely, I think the more planning time you can give yourself, you know, the more spaced out, you know, you can make your planning and a little less stress.
Yeah. And it also is very helpful that they also have you guys to reach out to if they have questions or they just don't understand something. So it's great that they have mentors on the LLS team to reach out to, so they're not completely alone.
No way. Yeah, there's no way you're alone in any of this. It's which is, I think, probably the best thing about these kinds of campaigns. We have junior leadership team members as well who we link with each one of our new candidates. So they can have them as a resource to say, you know, okay, I've already done this campaign. Let me give you some tips on what helped me be successful and some things that didn't work for me that I would say just to stay away from. And then as far as the adults go with our leadership team, you know, we're there to help guide. I mean, we're the adults. We we know, you know, maybe we won't even be that great of fundraisers, but we are able to help them open up their networks and give them a broader view of what they are getting themselves into and the excitement that it is. We like being their cheerleaders too. So that's kind of fun.
And this is coming from the woman of the year. So,
so 10, like way long ago.
Evelyn is a very seasoned fundraiser. She's a rock star.
It's still a big deal. It's a huge deal to be woman of the year.
Joke around, like, since, you know, the years later, I was like, once you win woman of the year, you're always woman of the year.
That's right.
Absolutely. No one takes that away from you.
I won't let them. I have a sash to prove it.
Oh, so. That's good. Can you guys share the link at maybe the website where students can apply?
Yeah, I think the easiest, you go to www.studentsoftheyear.org. And once you're there, you'll see a Get Involved tab. And from there, you can either apply, you can nominate, or you can get involved. You know, if there's sponsors, corporate companies out there that want to get involved in that way, those are all three buttons are available. So you can apply individually or in groups of two or three. So I guess I failed to mention that at the beginning. Our leaders, right? So Julene, we talk about, she ran as a solo candidate, but you can do it with, you know, one or two friends with you, and you can apply as a group as well through that Get Involved button.
And that website, is it nationwide or is it particular for the IE in Orange County?
It is nationwide. It goes off a zip code. So once they put in their zip code, it will be dispersed to the proper market. So once that's in there, I'll get the email notification letting us know that someone in our area has applied. But if there's someone outside of obviously the Orange County Inland Empire, it'll just get disseminated to whatever is the closest market to them.
And students can start applying right now, correct?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
So you guys can start referring your students to the LLS website. And what would you recommend for a student who is not sure if they should apply for LLS Student of the Year campaign?
You want me to take that, Evelyn?
Go for it.
Honestly, I, you know, even when you're, when you apply to apply for the campaign, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a candidate already, right? So we want to make sure that not only is it the best fit for us, but it's the best fit for you as well. It has to be mutually, you know, that you feel like you're going to succeed. We'll be able to partner with you well, and you'll have a great experience from it, you know, regardless of the outcome. You know, we want you to have a great experience. So even if you're not sure, put an application. I'll meet, or one of the staff members will meet with you and your parents. We'll really dive into all the details of the campaign. You can ask any questions. And then from there, we determine, you know, is this the right fit for you? If it's not, there's always an opportunity at LLS. So if this is something that you really want to get involved with Leukemia Lymphoma Society, you know, we can get you involved with our Light the Night program. You can do some type of other volunteer activity. So there's, we'll always be able to find a place. So even if you're not sure, go ahead and apply, and then we'll just learn more. We'll take those next steps together to determine if it's the best fit for you.
Can you guys talk about, go ahead, Evelyn.
I was going to say, you're not signing your life away when you're applying, we promise. You apply and we'll meet with you and figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll help you out, so you won't be lost. Can you guys talk about how much money the Students of the Year raised last year and maybe how they overcame some of the obstacles during the pandemic?
So overall, we had 13 teams compete. So like I said, we had co-candidates. So there were 26 students leading 13 teams. And collectively, the group raised just about $450,000 in the 7-week campaign.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a ton of money. They impress me every year with what they're able to accomplish. Locally, our average came out to be, I want to say, now I can't remember off the top of my head because it's blanking, but on a national average, teams raise about 28,000 across the country. So that's kind of what the average is nationwide. Obviously that kind of spans a lot of different ways. Our winners broke the record this year. They raised over $100,000, but we know that every team does not raise that much money. They're the standouts, really went above and beyond. But coming, you know, through the pandemic, you know, both at the end of the 2020 campaign and then in 2021, I know there was a lot of concern, you know, how do we do this, right? There's people without jobs, there's so much uncertainty. And, you know, I think what made them successful was just sticking to the mission. You know, they kept in mind that, yes, while this is happening, cancer has not stopped, you know, and really keeping that at the front of mind of, you know, we have to continue to fight for those, you know, who are continuing to battle every day, whether there's a pandemic or not. And, you know, just really getting creative, you know, going into virtual events and just being creative in their asks and being really heartfelt and sincere with their donors. And I think that really kind of just ensured that they were going to stay successful even through such a difficult time. Evelyn, was there anything else you want to add on that?
Just, no, I mean, really, that's it. I think, because I think we were all blown away with the amount that the kids were still able to pull out with knowing what we were all facing as a group. And we weren't even allowed to meet in person, and where we would have been able to sit with them and have their team meetings. And, you know, there is that whole, you know, element that we had to take out. They persevered. And I really do think it was the mission that they put first made such a huge difference. And I think there's a lot of people that want to help. They want to be asked to get involved with something. And so when these students really tapped into that, look, of course, cancer isn't canceled. We need to make sure it is. And also the fact that they knew that this was a challenge as in itself, and they just still reached for the stars. It showed in everything they were doing. And that resonates. People get excited when they see a young person excited about giving back, and they want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And they were successful.
And they did amazing. Like during this whole pandemic, they didn't give up. It was so neat to see that. And I know we've all had maybe someone we've known who's had cancer or has been impacted by cancer. So it's great work. It's a great campaign. I would encourage you guys to check it out. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
I mean, actually what you just said, I feel like segues perfectly. You said, you know, everyone knows someone with cancer, unfortunately, right? That's kind of the reality of where we're at. And while LLS, our main focus is blood cancers, so many other cancers and diseases benefit from the research that LLS supports. So I believe it's, I'm blanking on all my numbers today. Goodness. I believe it's like 85% of new FDA approved drugs since 2017 for blood cancers were supported by LLS. So it's a huge percentage to see that impact. And then to see all the other cancers and diseases on top of that, you know, blood is easier to test than solid tumors. So we found success or in clinical trials for common things like breast cancer, brain, liver, lung, prostate, ovarian, even things like MS and diabetes are being helped because of the research that starts with blood cancer research and with LLS. So even if you, you know, you don't have a blood cancer connection, but you know, your aunt is a breast cancer survivor, like that really truly is connected directly. So I think that's something so great that so many people feel like they can get involved with something that means something to, you know, it's close to them. It's personal to them because it has such a wide reach on the impact that's being created.
Yes.
I know on a personal level, my daughter and I, you know, we have cancer in our family, but we didn't have any personal connection to blood cancer when we first got involved. It was my friend's father who passed away that triggered my involvement with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. But once I got involved and I learned about all of the treatments, and then a few years later, you know, I had so many friends who were all touched by blood cancer. You know, it just, it's like a snowball effect. You know, you just keep going because you realize we all have the same actual goal as humans, is we need to just get rid of cancer. And LLS is just, I mean, they're at the forefront. They're doing the good work. They're really making a difference. I really, truly believe like the students of the year candidates of now, like right now, these are the kids that are going to cure cancer. These are the kids that are going to see, they're going to be the generation that ends cancer or ends blood cancer, because they're so incredible. They're so much better. I look at myself as a teenager and I'm like, oh my God, I would have never tackled anything like this. And I'm looking at these students and I'm like, I am in awe of these individuals. They're incredible. And they're going to do it because LLS is a great vessel to help them get there.
Yeah, and it starts with just one person reaching out to a student and telling them about the organization and just getting them part of it. So I know I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have an educator tell me, hey, you should do LLS. Like, so just letting your students know about the different opportunities. And if they want to do it and they're passionate about it, I say go for it. If they're not sure, they could talk to one of us. And if they don't want to do it, that's fine too. So I would just give them the options so they know what they can do. At the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. Can you guys tell me at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
Just one thing? There's so many things.
Go ahead, whatever you got.
I'll give you a very superficial, silly one. My kids are finally taking full advantage of summer, and they're outside and they are swimming in our pool all the time. And there is nothing like hearing your kids swimming in the pool and giggling and laughing and getting along. And that is my win of the week when they're all getting along and they're all happy. So that is my sunshine moment for sure. Aww,
that's awesome. How about you, Emily?
Yeah, I feel like this is hitting perfect timing. I just got back from vacation all last week. We were in South Carolina, which was just amazing on so many levels. You know, my boyfriend and I are both from the East Coast. So being able to see all his friends, but now my friends, you know, being able to spend time with them since we never get to see them, celebrate a beautiful couple for a wedding, and just take a break. You know, it's we've all had a long 2020, 2021 year, you know, so just to be able to have a week to relax and unwind was really, really fantastic. So I'm feeling, you know, refreshed now to jump back into work and to, you know, start recruiting for students of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting. And I was just at the ASCA, the American School Counselor Association conference in Las Vegas. And it was so much fun to see all my friends from across the nation. I haven't seen them in a long time except on Zoom. And then some of my friends I met on Zoom during this whole pandemic, I hadn't actually met them in person. So it was neat to actually meet people in person and, you know, give them hugs and just to see them and learn from amazing school counselors across the nation. So that was my highlight this past week. And I'm excited that we get to continue this work with LLS. And I hope that, you know, more students will apply.
Absolutely. And like you said, Priscilla, if there's any questions, just want to learn more, absolutely, they can reach out. Like we said, there's no pressure by putting, you know, by inquiring, right? Like we're happy to answer questions and hope, you know, that people want to get involved and really expand into the Inland Empire out there, because we need more representation out there. It's a great area.
Yeah, we do. So I'll put the information on the podcast. You guys have the website and you can always reach out to any of us. And if you guys could just say goodbye to all of our listeners.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.